4, verse 2 says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." You see, it's one thing to hear the gospel and to understand the gospel and to have the intellectual faculties of it, but it's another thing to believe it. All right? And then it says that, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is it a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Our works don't save us, but we ought to have works. But then verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship." What does that word workmanship mean? Y'all know. Come on, my class got to know this one. What? Workmanship, "For we are his masterpiece." Did you know that you are God's masterpiece? Did you know that? Did you know that you are loved deeply? You know he cares about every little thing about you and me. He cares about the things we go through. He cares about the things we worry about. He cares about the little things and the big things, guys. We are his masterpiece. It says, "Created in Christ Jesus." Yes, we are created. He created us physically, but then he creates us anew, the new man, the spiritual man, guys. The old man is dead, and the new man has been raised to spiritual life in Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, "For I am crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live, and yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." We are created in Christ Jesus as a new man. We're new creatures, guys. A deep, radical change has taken place in our life. And we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. All right? We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. This is the consequence of our salvation. So we have the cause, which is grace. The condition, which is faith. And now we have the consequence of our salvation, which is good works. Good works is an inseparable characteristic of the regenerate life. The Bible says faith without works is dead. If you have been saved, you have good works. You will have good works. If you say you have been saved and you don't have works, maybe you have not been saved, okay? Our works don't save us. There's nothing that we can do to earn our salvation, all right? The cause of our salvation is grace. But because we have received that grace and we have that faith to believe in him, then we will have good works. We must have good works. To be good or to be made good in Christ and to do good in Jesus' name is the very purpose of our salvation, according to Ephesians 2:10. The responsibility of our freedom in Christ is to exercise our free will and energy in the employment of our faith and the activity of his Spirit unto good works. Do you hear that? That it is our responsibility. We have been given freedom in Christ, guys. We are free in Christ. We are made free. But our freedom, we have a responsibility with that freedom, guys. Our responsibility is to exercise the faculties of our free will and our heart for the employment of our faith and for the activity of the Spirit. Guys, that's what we got to do. Hey, God created us, but he didn't create us robots. We're free to choose to not serve him, but we're also free to choose to serve him. Okay, the good works. It's a short introduction, a little bit longer of a message. The good works. The first good works is to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling from Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. So work out your own salvation. Wait, I thought you said salvation was by grace through faith. Now you're telling me I got to work out my own salvation. What's going on here? Listen, we've received salvation, but now we have this process of sanctification to go through, guys. We have this process where we are mortifying the old man. We're dying daily to the old man, as Paul says, and we're living to the new man. We have this process of working out the old man and working in the new man. The Bible says that we are to work out our own salvation. How? It says, with fear and trembling, guys. What are we fearing? What do we fear and tremble? I would say that we have reverential fear of God Almighty, and a trembling of his mighty power to destroy both the body and soul in hell. But we also need to fear our own weakness, unbelief, and sin of the flesh. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." So we have a responsibility. Our first good work is to work out our own salvation. Guys, if we don't work out our own salvation first, how are we to help anybody else? How are we to encourage and to strengthen? How are we to be a witness unto anyone else if first we haven't begun the process of sanctification? And here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. It's not us that's doing it, right? It said, "For it is God that worketh in us to will and to do of his good pleasure." All we have to do, guys, what do we have to do? Y'all know this answer. What do we have to do? We sang it. Trust and obey. Our responsibility. God does the work. He gives us the willpower, the desire to seek him and to serve him. He gives us the strength. You know what we have to do? Trust and obey. It's that simple. That's all we have to do. We just trust God, trust that he's going to do what he said he was going to do, and we obey his word. But that means we actually got to be in his word, right? It says, "We are commanded to exercise our faith in order that we may develop spiritual muscles and grow strong in spiritual discipline." Developing spiritual discipline is not easy nor convenient. It's challenging. Guys, any discipline is hard, right? Any discipline is hard. Some of y'all exercise. I know John over here exercise. I know some of y'all exercise. If your goal is to build muscle and to get in shape, guys, it is not easy. You're not going to get it after one workout or 1 week of workout or maybe even 1 month of workout. You're not going to see results for at least 6 weeks, guys. At least 6 to 8 weeks before you're going to see anything that's going to make you believe that something is working, okay? You got 6 weeks to go. That means you got to go day in and day out. You got to do this consistently. But you know what? If it doesn't challenge you, guys, it doesn't change you. What is, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby." You hear what Scripture just said? Scripture just said that this discipline that we're talking about, this spiritual discipline that we all must go through and that we all must be a part of, listen, it's not easy. In fact, the Bible says it's not even joyous. It's not even fun. You know what it is? The Bible said it's grievous. Why is it grievous? Because we got this flesh. And you know what this flesh wants? What it wants. It wants this world and it wants sin and it wants these things, right? The flesh doesn't want anything to do with the Spirit. The flesh doesn't want anything to do with God. My flesh don't want anything to do with being here right now. My flesh don't want anything to do with the Word of God. But you know what? The Spirit that dwells inside me, it does. It does. But you know what? We got to exercise it. If we're going to grow it, if we're going to die to this flesh and live to the Spirit, we got to exercise our faith. This spiritual discipline, it's a costly life of self-sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Which is your reasonable service." What does that mean? That means just your bare minimum. They say the bare minimum is to present your body a living sacrifice. That sounds like a whole lot. That sounds like everything. But guess what? That's our bare minimum. Anyway, it's costly. It's a life of self-sacrifice, guys. You can't serve yourself. You can't serve God and mammon at the same time, it says in Matthew. You don't work out your salvation, God does. For it is God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is his motivation, his energy, and his strength that does the work. The Spirit, through the knowledge of his word, changes our minds, our hearts, our will, our affections and desires to transform us to that of his. How does he do this? By the renewing of our minds. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "But be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Listen, guys, you got to let your mind be renewed. You know why? This mind is dirty. This mind is dirty. I know y'all got dirty minds. Mine's dirty too. Listen, our mind doesn't want to think about the things of God. Our mind just doesn't naturally just gravitate toward the things of God. Our mind gravitates towards these base things, towards our animalistic nature, guys. All right? But we have to allow Christ to renew our minds. How does he renew our mind? Through his word. Through his word. We got to be in his word. All right? By the renewing of our minds, and so that we may have the mind of Christ, guys. All right. Now we get into the part that I really enjoy, the workout. All right, so now we know that the first work is to work out our salvation, right? It's to exercise our faith. Y'all know what exercise is. All right, what's the workout? All right, we got a couple of things. One, it's a proper diet. If you're going to achieve any fitness goal, you got to have the proper diet. Listen, guys, you can't out-train a bad diet. You can't. You can work out as hard as you want, as long as you want, but if you're stuffing your face with crap, you're going to look like crap. You're going to feel like crap. That's just the way it is. You can't out-train a bad diet. You can't eat the things of the world and experience the things of God. Do you hear me?
That's right. Amen.
You hear me? It starts with your diet. It all starts with your diet. Then it's the big three. If someone comes to me and they want to start an exercise program or they want to get stronger in any way, I got the big three. Y'all know what they are? Anybody know what the big three are? Bench, squat, and deadlift. Bench, squat, and deadlift. Push, pull, and press, all right? Those are the big three. If you want to build the overall man, if you want to strengthen your core and stiffen your posture, guys, bench, squat, and deadlift. That's what we're going to talk about today. Those are your three things. These exercises establish a strong foundation of the total man. Guys, we need a strong foundation. We need a foundation of truth. So we need to know, what is the bench, the squat, and the deadlift spiritually, right? Okay, and it also strengthens the core. Y'all know what a core is? Core is not your abs. It's not 2, 4, 6. That's your rectus abdominis. Your core is much deeper than that. Your core is your transverse abdominis and your inner and internal and external obliques. It's your multifidus and erector spinae. There's a bunch of different muscles that go into your core that you probably never even heard of. You think his core is this right here. Well, you're close, but it's not your core. Your core is all these muscles. Listen, guys, all movement begins and ends with your core. All movement. When you're moving, when you're doing exercise, your core is activated in the beginning of that phase, through the exercise, and all the way to the end. So we must have a strong core, all right? So we must stand on the truth of the Word of God. That's why we've got to be in the Word of God, so that we can develop our core. And then it maintains optimal posture. Did y'all know that postural dysfunction is the first sign of disease? What is disease? Dis-ease. When your posture is off, your body is in dis-ease. And that is the first sign of disease, when your posture starts to go. You know, you start to see this happening. You know something's going on. All right, so we need to maintain good posture, have a core, and strengthen our total man. All right, diet, it is where it all begins. Guys, it all begins with a balanced diet. Food is fuel. Food is not fun. All right? Yes. Can food taste good? Should food taste good? Yes. But what's more important? I mean, don't answer that. I'm going to tell you what's more important. It's most important, the nutritional value of what you're eating. Listen, we already talked about it. If you eat crap, that's how you're going to feel. And guess what? Food is fuel for the activity and exercise, but food is also the material that your body uses to grow strong and to build new muscle and bone, right? Food is what your body breaks down and uses to rebuild and repair itself at a cellular level. So guess what? Guess what? You are what you eat. If you're eating crap, your body is rebuilding itself with faulty cells. Your body is rebuilding diseased cells. Your body is rebuilding itself because we're eating processed food. What is processed food? Food engineered to make you sick. Yes, I said it, and I said it out loud. Processed food is food engineered to make you sick. All right? That's what we're eating. That's what we're eating spiritually. You know, we want to go to these self-help books. We want to read these gurus. We want to read about motivation. We want to read these quick journals. We want to feel good. We don't want to get in the Word of God and see what the truth of the Word of God says, right? We want all this processed food. We want the junk food. We want the junk food of the world. We're trying to eat the junk food and the processed food and still maintain our faith. It just don't happen, guys. Food is the material your body uses to grow strong, have muscle and bones, and to repair itself at a cellular level. And you are what you eat. You can't out-train a bad diet. The Word of God is our spiritual nutrition, and it provides us with all things pertaining unto life and godliness, guys. The Word of God, and the first discipline, the first spiritual discipline that we must get involved with is the Word of God. Let's talk about it, guys. We must read, study, memorize, internalize, personalize, and verbalize the Word of God. And I added one more. That was from one of the guys at camp. I added one more. And write the Word of God. Guys, we need to read the Word of God. Why? Because every Word of God is pure. You know, I know. Sometimes you read the Bible and you're just like, what did I just read? Or, excuse me, that was boring. You know, you ever read in Matthew, going through the genealogies? And you're reading in genealogies and you're like, how do I even say this? Like, you're like frustrated. Like, you trying to read a whole chapter. It takes you 30 minutes to read a whole chapter because you're spending 2 minutes sounding out each word, right? Sometimes the Word of God, guys, sometimes the Word of God, but what does the Bible say? Every Word of God is pure. We need to read the Word of God. Then guess what? We need to study it. We need to dig deep. Guys, I tell my class, you need to have questions. If you're reading the Word of God and you don't have questions, you are not reading the Word of God. You are skimming the Word of God. You are not getting what you're supposed to. When you read the Word of God, you must have questions. Because you know what? There's a lot of things in the Word of God that we can't understand and we don't understand. So guess what? You have questions. Then what do? Study and find the answers. Get the answers. What is the answer to my question? Okay, you can't find it in Scripture. Google can't help you. Concordance can't help you. Ask your pastor, your youth pastor, your dad, your mom. Ask somebody. Find answers to your questions. Study the Word of God. Don't just read it. Don't be satisfied with the verse of the day. What? A verse of the day? Fine. You just have a banana all day. Go for it. You have a banana, one banana, all day, every day. And some of you, you have a banana one time, once a week. See how that goes. We need to read the Word of God. Read it, all of it. We need to spend time reading it. Listen, we need to memorize it. Hide it in your heart, guys. I love Scripture. I wish I would have loved it when I was their age. I wish I would have had more value to it. I was raised in church, and you know what? It just didn't have much value to me back then. It has value to me now. I love the Word of God. I memorize it. I make my son memorize it. I encourage my wife to memorize it. You can't make her do it. I encourage my wife to memorize it. My son, he got to memorize it, guys. I love memorizing Scripture. Why do we got to memorize Scripture? What should we memorize? Guys, you should memorize Scripture of things that you struggle with. You struggle? Are you perfect? No, you're not perfect, so that means you have sin. That means you have struggle and temptation. Guess what? Get in the Word of God. Find out what those Scriptures are and memorize them. You know people going through hard times? You know people struggling? Get in the Word of God and memorize it so next time you see it, the Spirit can be like, whoop, here's the verse for you. Right? When we hide God's Word in our heart, it allows Him the ability to bring it up and out whenever He needs. But you know what the problem is? We don't have it in our hearts. So you know what we got to do? Oh, yeah, it says over in, okay, hold on. It says something about, we need to know what the Word of God says. We need to have it hidden in our heart. We need to be able to quote it word for word. Because what does the Bible say? Any man who adds to the Word of God or takes away from it, right? So we need to know it word for word. We don't need to paraphrase it. We don't need to guess at what the Word of God says. We don't come with our own description. We need to have the Word of God memorized in our hearts. You need to memorize scripture. Memorize the things you struggle with. Memorize words that speak to you, guys. Memorize the word of God. Then you need to internalize it. Meditate upon the word of God. You need to spend time like a cow. You know what a cow does? In the cool of the day, he goes and eats the grass. He gets it in his stomach. Then what's he do in the heat of the day? He goes and lays down and he regurgitates it and he eats it again. Guess what, guys? You need to sit down and you need to read God's word. You need to study God's word. And then you know what you need to do. You need to go regurgitate it and you need to chew it again. You need to think about it all day. Because guess what? God didn't just give that word to you for you. God gave that word to you for someone else. You're just not listening. You're just not looking. You're just not ready. God's given the word for you for someone else. Listen, internalize it, meditate upon it, then personalize it. How does it apply to you, your life, your circumstances, et cetera? Like, there's no private interpretation of the word of God, but there is private application. How the word of God applies to your life specifically may be different than how it applies to Brother Kevin or someone else, right? The word of God applies to us. How does the word of God apply to it? Personalize the word of God. Then verbalize it, guys. We need to share it. The Bible says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks in a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. We need to verbalize it. We need to be ready to share the word of God. Sure. You say, oh, Brother Paul, I just can't memorize scripture. Oh, please. Do you serve the same God I do? I'm not saying that you can memorize math, or you can memorize science, or English, or anything else, but I'll tell you one thing, you can memorize. You can memorize the Word of God. Why? Because you have the Spirit of God inside of you who will help you. But you gotta want it. The problem is you don't want it. It's not that valuable to you. It's good enough for you to just open it up and read your verse of the day or read your chapter. And after you get done reading your chapter, you can't even remember what you read, but you read the Word of God. Okay, I didn't check. Listen, we need to verbalize the Word of God. We need to have it in here. We need to have it in here so it can come out. All right, it says, and then write. Guys, about 2 years ago, God put on my heart to start copying the Word of God. So far, I've only a couple of books I've got left of the Old Testament, and I'm on my second copy of Revelation. I want to write one for each of my kids. But I sat down and started writing the Word of God. I started writing. I spend about 30 minutes a day, every day, writing the Word of God. And I write with my non-dominant hand. You know why? Because I want to slow down. Because with my left hand, I could scribble down the Word of God, and it'd be just like I just read it, and I don't even remember what I said. But with our right hand, I'm thinking about every stroke. Yeah. I'm thinking about every word. You know what writing the Word of God gives me time to do? Writing the Word of God gives me time to think about it. Yeah. Writing the Word of God gives me time to think about what's actually going on in this passage of Scripture and what the emotions. You know, we tend to think of people in the Bible as some, like, spiritual out there somehow, and that we're somehow different than them. Listen, they struggle with the same thing we do. They were human just like you and I. They struggle with the same emotions and the same doubt and fear and all this stuff that we do. And when you write the Word of God, you have time to slow down and think about what they might be feeling. Write the Word of God. All right, let's give you some encouragement for Scripture. Colossians 3:16-17 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with your grace in your hearts, I think, yes, to the Lord. All right, then Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 2:15-16 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But then you know what it says? But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. Guys, the word of God is our spiritual mirror to check the condition of our heart. Get in the word. Get in the Word. Spend time sitting at the feet of Jesus. It's a sacrifice. We talked about it. It's costly. It's hard. It's grievous. Get in the Word of God. Because you know what? When you first start exercising, well, that's hard. If you start exercising, you're sore. You're sore for several days. How you feel? But guess what? After you do it for a few weeks, after you do it for a little bit, it ain't nothing. After you, it becomes easy. And it even comes to the point where you like start looking forward to it. At first you were like, oh my gosh, I got to work out today. Oh no. Oh. And then you get to the point where you're like, oh my, I can't wait to get my workout in. I got to schedule this. It becomes so important to you that you put it in your day and you make sure it happens. Listen, that's what needs to happen with the Word of God. Right now it's like hard. You're getting up and you're like, oh my gosh. And so I don't really understand it. King James Version is so hard to read because thee and thou is hard to understand. But listen, the more you get in the Word of God, guess what? Guess what happens? You start to crave it. Guess what? When I first started writing, I was like, my hand was cramping. Even at one point, I felt like I was going to vomit because I was trying to concentrate so hard. My hand was like cramping like that. And I was like, oh my gosh. But you know what now? Guys, listen. Every morning I get up. Every morning I get up at 2:30, at 3 o'clock I get out of the house and I go walk and I pray. That's my time to get myself ready. I don't have my Bible study till I get home from work and I make my shakes and stuff, but guess what? My Bible study happens before anything else. I love to do art, but I will not sit down and pick up a pencil or a color and do any art until I have first done my work. You know why? Because I want to read the Word of God. I want to get in the Word. I want to know what He has for me. All right? Number two, church attendance. Uh-oh. Okay, sound like pastor. All right, church attendance. Church attendance, guys, is the bench press. This strengthens your arms for service. Guys, we are commanded to be a part of a local body of believers to encourage and sharpen one another and to work together to fulfill the Great Commission. Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and even more so as you see the day approaching. Guys, I don't know. Like, I know some churches that during COVID, they stopped Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. Like, did y'all not read the same scripture I just read? Did it not say to get together more and more as you see the day approaching? Listen, guys, you can think what you want about church. You can say we're all hypocrites. You can say organized religion is the same. You can say whatever you want, guys. We're called to be a part. You are the church. I am the church. We are the church. But we need to get together as a family, and we need to encourage and strengthen one another. Church attendance is a must, guys. It says church is not a place. Y'all bear with me. Church is not a place to warm a pew sitting on your blessed assurance, but a place you give your time, your talent, your energy, your money, your life. This is not a place just to come hang out. This ain't a social club, guys. This is a place you come. You give your time. I'm here a lot. You give your energy. You give your talents. What do? Use it for the honor and glory of God. Give your energy. Uh-oh. Give your money. It's not yours anyway. It's God's. Give your money. Give your life. This is home. Y'all are my family. Y'all are even closer than my real family. This is home. I love it here. I love it. You know, when I show up, sometimes I don't want to be here. Uh-oh. Did I say that? Don't look at me. I see the look on y'all's face. Sometimes y'all don't want to be here either. Listen, sometimes I don't want to be here. But you know what? You know what? I'm here anyway. You know why? Because maybe someone's looking up to me. Maybe someone is watching my life. And if it's not really that important that Paul shows up, like, you know, he's like the youth leader and all and stuff. And if he don't really need to show up to church, like, I guess it's okay for me not to show up for church. Right? Maybe someone's watching you. Oh. Well, they're not watching you because you're not here. But they would be watching you if you were here. Guys, we need to be in church. We need to be here. Because you know what? We have work to do. There's no place just to hang out. We're about to find out what we got to do. You need to find your place and get involved. You don't have nothing to do. Find something to do. Trust me. Ask sis. I promise you she will put to you work. Ask Evelyn. Ask Pastor. They'll put you work. Look, there's a key hanging on the wall. Look, all it needs is for someone to grab a ladder and go over there and change that. Can someone handle that? This is ministry. This is what we're in church for. Who's supposed to do it? Are we supposed to hire someone to do it? Or is someone who's got the ability to climb up a ladder and change these things going to do it? Listen, find your place and get involved. The church is a hospital. The church is a hospital for the hurting, the broken, and the lost. You know what? We need to come with a prepared heart. We need to be ready not only to receive a blessing, but to be a blessing. Ask God to open your eyes to the needs of others and be willing and ready to act. Guys, when you come to church, you ain't come and say, hey, some of y'all don't even sing. I'm going to be honest with you. There's days, not many, but there are days I don't feel like singing either. There's days I don't sing. There's days I can't sing. My heart is just, and y'all are like that too. Y'all have those days. We all have those days. But guess what? You know what? Somebody, is the Spirit of God here? Is the Spirit of God working? Does the Spirit of God care when you're hurting? So that means the Spirit of God has someone here prepared to come minister to you. Are you prepared to minister to someone when you come to church? Or are you sitting here, I didn't get nothing out of that. What? You didn't get nothing out of that. What did you give? Did you even prepare your heart? Did you barely roll out of bed, slide in here 15 minutes late? Come on, man. You need to come with a prepared heart. Kay Stokes. Y'all know Kay Stokes? One day she was sitting back here. She lost her husband. He was a missionary. They were missionaries. She was sitting back here, and I just noticed her. I noticed her. She was off. I didn't know what was off. I know a little bit about, you know, her kids and things. She's got a son around my age, and I know some things. But that day, I didn't know what was off. But I kept looking at her, and the Spirit of God was like, hey. I was like, he was like. Finally, I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't just stand there while I was watching my sister hurt. She wasn't crying, but I could tell. The Spirit of God says, go and just give her a hug. Don't say nothing. Don't mess it up. Just give her a hug. Guess what? I walked over there, put my arm around her, and she broke. What she needed. Was I the only one who saw that? Do y'all not see this? Do y'all not come to church and see that there are people hurting? What are you doing about it? You see people go up to the altar and pray. Do you think they're just killing time? They got needs. Why don't you ask God, God, is there someone up there I need to go pray with? Or how about you walk up to someone and be like, hey, will you come to the altar and pray with me? What are we doing? We just showing up, saying, hey, oh yeah, the songs were good. Message was great. Time to go get lunch. Come on, man. We got the wrong idea. Listen, they're hurting people. Be the hands and feet. I would tell you I'm almost done. We'll get there. Prayer. Deadlift. Prayer is your deadlift. Deadlift works the second largest muscle group in the body, your back. All right? And it strengthens your spine, gives you a strong backbone. Listen, guys, if we're going to do the work of God, if we're going to be in the ministry of God, we're going to have a strong backbone. We can't be swayed by every wind of doctrine. We can't be going back and forth. We can't be unsure about what we believe. We've got to know what we believe and why we believe it. Listen, we need to be in prayer. Prayer is our power. The activity, it activates and energizes the Spirit of God in our life. God inclines his ear into our prayer and is moved to action on our behalf. You know that Jesus is on the right hand of the Father right now making intercession for you and me? If it's important enough for Jesus to pray, don't you think we should? The Spirit of God, James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's profitable, guys. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, bet y'all don't know that one. Pray without ceasing. Listen, guys, we need to begin each day with prayer to get your heart and mind focused and ready for each new day's challenges. Listen, I go for a walk every day. Listen, I just start my prayer. That's not my whole prayer time. It's only about 15 minutes I go for a walk. I bust it. I'm trying to get my heart rate up, trying to get my blood flowing, trying to get going, trying to get my mind, my heart right. It's only 15 minutes, but guess what it does? It starts that process. So I get this, the Lord starts speaking to my heart. I get this process going. And then once I hop in my truck and I go for a drive, guess what? You know, I got to pray every day. You know why? Because I'm out there on the roads. I've already been shot at. My truck already got hit. I'm doing Uber. Like, I'm out there in the streets. I need God's protection. But you know what I need more? I pick up 600 rides every 3 months. So about 200 rides a month, I get an opportunity to have a perfect stranger in my car. And guess what, guys? Guess what? I can't just let someone get in my truck and get out of my truck like a normal person, okay? It just can't happen. Listen, if someone gets in my truck, listen, I got this responsibility that guess what? They're in my truck, and guess what? It's random. I'm like playing the lottery every day. I don't even know what I'm going to pick up. I'm just like, oh, okay, Zachary, over here. I'm just going, cruising around, and I pick up. It's like, whatever, I pray, God, whatever you send me. I was like, I pray, God, give me an opportunity to be a witness and a blessing to someone today. And listen, there are hurting people. There are hurting people. There are people who need to hear the gospel. And guess what? I get an opportunity every day. But I got to start it in prayer because I don't know what the needs of these people are, but God does. God knows. And then we need to continue in prayer throughout the day. And as a disciple said, Lord, teach us to pray. But Matthew 6, 33, people... Brother Paul, you don't got to pray in the morning. You could do it at night. Okay, well then, how do you justify, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you? How do you justify, but give God the first fruits? How do you justify that? Is the first fruits in the evening or is the first fruits in the morning when you wake up? Y'all argue with me if you want, or just argue with the word of God. You need to pray in the morning. All right, number four, and this is where I want to be, so we'll wrap it up here in about 30 minutes. I'm just kidding. Ministry. Hey, Pastor went till 8:30 last week. Y'all remember that? I was like, he's still going. But it's all right. We were doing sewing. Elena was teaching us how to sew. You see this button? You see how it's different than all the others? It's because Elena taught our class how to sew. And Moose learned how to sew on a button. So he went home and he's like, Dad, if you ever have any shirts that need buttons sewed on, I'll do it for you. And so I told him, I was like, you know what? Matter of fact, son, I got a shirt hanging in my closet that I won't wear because it's missing a button. He went home, and that Thursday morning, he went down with his mom, and he sewed this button on here. He did a great job. Ministry. Ministry, guys. This is the fourth spiritual discipline. Ministry is the squat. It works the largest muscle group in the body. It's our legs. It's what moves us to action. You know, scientifically, research has proven, whatever that means, research has proven that the stronger your legs are, the longer you live, that strong legs equals long life, that we need to strengthen our legs. Listen, Galatians 6:10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, and especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Listen, we need to pray for opportunity to be a witness and a blessing. I told you, every morning I pray, God, give me an opportunity to be a witness and a blessing. And guess what? He does. Guess what? Because then I seek. Guys, I'm not always this way. Like, I go through times too. But listen, most of the time, I'm looking for opportunity. I'm looking for opportunity to be a witness and a blessing. I want the opportunity to bless someone. Not to bring glory to me. Not to make myself feel good. Because I want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I want to know, all right, God, what do you got for me today? I'm excited. You'd blow your mind the opportunities and the coincidences that I run into in my truck. Ain't no coincidence. Ain't no coincidence. No amount of coincidence could match me and a rider that has a need, and I got the word. It doesn't happen. Listen, pray for opportunity. Then seek opportunity. Look, random acts of kindness in Jesus' name. Listen, never resist a generous impulse. Listen, Satan didn't tell you to do it. Satan didn't give you that generous impulse. Satan's not like, hey, I think you should bless. I think you should pray over this brother or sister. Hey, that brother or sister needs some groceries. Hey, that brother or sister needs a car. Ooh, that's a lot. And if you seek opportunity, guess what? You shall find. You're going to find opportunity if you're looking for it. If you're asking for it, he's listening. Remember, he inclines his ear to your prayer. And then you're seeking it because you're employing your will and your energy. Guess what? You're going to find opportunity. But listen, these opportunities are going to be probably inconvenient. You know, when it's for God, like, you got to step outside your comfort zone. All right? Listen, what are the opportunities? Prayer. Pray with people. You know, I've started something. When someone comes to me and says, Brother Paul, will you pray for me about? I no longer say, yes, I will pray for you. Because guess what? I mean that with all my heart. I mean that I'm going to pray for you. But guess what? I forget. And sometimes I forget till it's too late. Sometimes I forget till the need's over. So you know what the Spirit of God told me? Hey, forget all that noise. Someone comes to you and says, Brother Paul, yes, right now. Let's pray. Amen. Is it awkward? Is it uncomfortable? Sometimes, especially with writers. Like, these are strangers. I even got in trouble for it one time. We won't talk about that. But listen, I ask. My writer's going through hard times. I'm like, can I pray with you? Most everyone says yes. I just reach my hand back. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they're doing. I grab my hand, and I pray for them. And there's been a couple times that the writers have said, hey, you look like you're going through it. Can I pray for you? What? Sure. Listen, they see that in me. But listen, look for opportunities. You have opportunities for encouragement. People need encouragement. Exhortation. How about sometimes a hug? You know what? How about a listening ear? Sometimes you don't got to say nothing. Just listen. That's especially women. That's all they want to do. They just want to talk. Once they talk. Thanks, babe. I feel better. Thanks for letting me talk. Okay. Sometimes you just need a listening ear, guys. Listen, sometimes every writer, whether or not I get an opportunity to tell them about Jesus or not, you know what they get? They get a smile. I hope you have a blessed day and Jesus loves you. They at least get that on the way out. If I don't get any opportunity to tell them about it, there's no open door, they get a smile and Jesus loves you. You know, that goes a long way, especially your gas station attendants. You know, they're not making nothing. You know, they're treated like crap anyway. And so you go in there and you talk to them and you tell them, Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about you. You don't know how that you make their day. You don't know you make someone's whole world by just giving a random compliment. Listen, maybe it's to use your talents. Maybe you have a talent that someone needs, and you're going to give it to them. Listen, if you're on the other side, if you have a friend with a business, you need to pay for that business and a tip, okay? You need to support your friend's business. But if you are the business owner and you see someone needs a need, you need to reach out and meet that need, all right? That's what Jesus would do. All right, and then sometimes, guys, maybe you just sit in silence with someone during periods of grief. You ever had someone that is so much in a season of grief? There are no words. There are no words for them, and there are no words for you. But do you know how comforting it is to just have someone sit next to you? Just be silent? What did Job's friends do that for 7 days? Just sit. We're meeting needs, guys, but we're not meeting them according to our power because we don't know what the heck we're doing. We're meeting them according to God's power. We're meeting according to the leading of His Spirit. Sometimes it's a financial and material needs. Listen, I'm going to tell you a couple of things. One, there's a group of guys in this church. God lays it on my heart to do things a lot. Because why? Because I'm asking. Because I'm seeking. Look. All right, that's why God gives me opportunity, and He will give you opportunity too to be a blessing if you will ask Him and you will seek Him. So sometimes God gives me opportunity all the time, but you know what? Sometimes I can meet it. Sometimes God gives me the means to meet it. But guess what? Sometimes the need is too big for me. But God said to meet it. But it's too big for me. So guess what? I got this group of guys that go to this church, which you'll never know their names because it doesn't matter. But when I got a need that's too big, guess what I do? Hey, y'all want to go three-way? Guess what we do? We three-way that need. Because guess what? I may not be able to afford the whole thing, but I can go three-way. Because guess what? I can bring someone else. Hey, you know what? I ask them, hey, y'all want to get in on a blessing? The guys have never said no, ever, all right? And there have been some needs met. So listen, guys, just be obedient. Trust and obey. Let's see. In the conclusion, I'm tired. Are y'all tired? That wore me out. Listen, did y'all get something out of this tonight? Are y'all encouraged? Are y'all exhorted? Listen, and I'm not preaching at you. Listen, you know what? God's been dealing with me this for a week. Listen, I'm doing what I think I should do, but I know I can do better. I know there's always room for improvement, guys. I know, I'm right. That's why I'm down. I'm not up here. I don't belong up here. I belong right down here with you guys. Y'all are my brothers and sisters. I'm in the same mud, doing the same dirt with y'all, all right? Listen, but the conclusion, it says, Ephesians 2:10b, it says, these good works which God hath before ordained, which means prepared beforehand, according to his omniscience, that we should walk in them. Listen, that we should make good works our manner and course of life. Make it our lifestyle. We need to put our faith in action. What good is your faith if it don't have works? The Bible says it's dead. And besides, the world can't see that. Good works ought to be a constant in our daily walk with him. All right, guys. Ministry. We said all this to say, what's the message? To be profitable to men. The Bible says it is profitable to men. It doesn't say these things are good and profitable to you. But guess what? It's implied. It is profitable to you. When you are profitable, when you live your life in such a way that honors Christ and you are profitable to men, I'm going to tell you, boy, it's profitable to you too. It's very profitable to you. You're going to reap blessings as well. And of course, that's not why we do it. But God, listen, I remember Brother Joe is stapled in my head for this thing, is we need to be the conduit for which the blessings flow. You know what? Listen, guys. There have been needs met. Time would fail me to tell you of the miraculous way that God blesses me and daily loads me with his benefits. The time would fail me for that. All right? But listen, you know why? You know why? Because I try and be a blessing. Guess what? I'm not worried about me. Like, I pray to God and be like, okay, God, these are my needs. I'm not telling you my needs. Y'all will never know my needs. You know why? Because it's none of your business. It's God's business. And if God lays it on your heart to meet one of my needs, do it. I'm ready. Do it. But I'm not going to tell you. Listen, you know what? I say, God, here's my needs. Now show me the needs of others. All right? And so I'm over here concerned about your needs. And guess what? Joe Blow's over here worried about my needs and taking care of me. That's how it works, guys. We need to be conduit for which the blessings flow. I encourage you guys, listen, we need to practice spiritual discipline. This is no joke. Listen, we are in a spiritual battle. I didn't even get to the spiritual warfare. I'm not going to even go there tonight, but we're in a spiritual battle. We need these spiritual disciplines to be strong for the spiritual battle because some of y'all are going through it. I know some of y'all are going through it. I'm going through it. We all going through this spiritual battle. Some are battling the flesh. Some are battling family. Some are battling finances. Some are battling grief. We're all battling. We need this spiritual discipline. Guys, so what? So that we can be profitable to men. This ain't about you. Church ain't about you. This whole thing is about others. That's what Jesus would do. Before Jesus gave him salvation, what did he do? He met their needs. He met their physical need first. Listen, you got someone who's hungry, and you'd be like, oh, well, Jesus loves you. Do you know he died for you and that you could be born again if you'll just receive him? But I can't help you with that. What? Is that what Jesus would do? Nah. You know how Jesus would do it? Jesus would go buy him a meal. And then through the kindness of that good deed, guess what? Now that opens the door of opportunity for you. You know why? Because we're not doing it for us. The reason I do good stuff is so I can have an opportunity to be like, oh yeah, God told me to do this. This is from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ loves you. For listen, we are his hands and his feet. We are the church. And listen, this world is hurting. This world is hurting more than ever. Your brothers and sisters right here are hurting more than ever. Why are we just sitting here? Why are we sitting here? Why are we still sitting here? Why are we looking around? Why, when it's altar call time, why are we just standing there? You ain't got no needs? You don't have nothing you need to talk to God about? You all good? Or are you too prideful to humble yourself down here at this altar? To get on your knees? Listen, I don't always want to come to the altar, but guess what? Moose, he wants to go to the altar every time. So I already know, I'm going to the altar. I don't always want to go, but listen, every time I go, I need to go. Listen, open Open your eyes. Ask God to open your eyes to the needs around you, because we are supposed to be profitable to men. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity to share. Thank you for allowing me to pour out my heart, God. And I love my church family. This is the family I got. Lord, I'm thankful for them. And Lord, I'm right here with them. Lord, I'm going through this world, struggling, battling with sin, battling with the flesh, battling with trying to read the word and to pray and to keep up with this and to keep up with that. And Lord, all we need is more of you. And I pray, Lord, that we would take that time. I pray that we would seek you first. I pray that we would make it a commitment. I pray that this would be so important to us that, Lord, we would set a time in our schedules, Lord, and make this the first thing we do so that everything else can follow. I love you. In Jesus' name.